powered by Clear Vision Development Group. This is Better Than Before with Tony Richards, a business leader's podcast. Each week, we'll provide you with top business insights, fresh perspectives from world-class guests, and the tools you need to lead better than before. And now, here's your host, author and business coach, Tony Richards.
Welcome to Better Than Before. This is the CEO Leaders Podcast Show. I'm your host, Tony Richards, and we have one clear objective: to provide tools, information, and entertainment to make you, the listener, better than before in business and in life. We'd love to have you as a subscriber to our show, and of course, you can do that on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, C-Suite Radio Network. Thanks so much to all of you who have subscribed to our podcast. On the show today, we have Chief Producer Bill.
Hello.
Also, some people want checkout to go faster and faster, while others are fighting the progress technology is making in this area. So we'll have that coming up. Jason Forrest from Fort Worth, Texas. He's the CEO of Forrest Performance Group. He's a sales specialist, and he's on hold, and he's going to be our guest today. And he's going to be talking about what it takes to become a sales warrior. And I'll also be sharing some content today. Why do people fail to execute? Also want to tell you about our self-esteem workshop that's coming up on Tuesday, May the 28th. This is a one-day interactive experience. And we got rave reviews on last year's self-esteem workshop. So I'm really looking forward to this year. You know, we just completed a few weeks ago our exponential leadership retreat. And what people continue to say is, you know, I signed up for this and I thought it would be you mainly teaching, and that would have been fine, but it's not all that. It's the interactive experience that they enjoy. And so we love it when we hear that. And we keep them small, you know, less than 10 people, and we talk and we share and we work on ourselves in these experiences. And so the self-esteem workshop is all about downloading a new version of yourself, and it's, quite frankly, it's about loving yourself more and appreciating yourself. So can't wait to do that. Big chains like Amazon coming out with their Amazon Go stores, Sweetgreen, Shake Shack, just to name a few, but U.S. retailers are fast eliminating cash sales, but cities and states across the American landscape are fighting back. They're moving to outlaw cashless stores because they say they discriminate against millions of Americans.
In what way did they say?
Well, mostly the poor, the elderly, and immigrants who don't use credit cards. In recent weeks, New Jersey and Philadelphia have passed laws prohibiting cashless stores, and four more cities, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., are contemplating doing so as well. The world, though, is racing to speed up the amount of time it takes to check out. China is the leader in the world. Over the last two or so years, Chinese tech giants Alibaba and JD.com have wholly eliminated checkout in hundreds of stores. American counterparts Amazon and Walmart, meanwhile, are only starting to debut such technology in a few flagship locations. But unlike in China, local U.S. movements are working to keep cash alive. Around 30% of all U.S. business is still done in cash, not credit cards. Some 14 million Americans have no bank account.
I remember when we went to direct deposit and some people just refused to do direct deposit.
Why?
Maybe they didn't trust that it would show up in their bank.
So they kept getting their paper check?
They kept getting their paper check. And I don't even know if that's even an option anymore.
Well, we can do anything we want. I think I should stand in the lobby and count it out to you guys every other Friday. 1, 2, 3, and 15 cents. Carry my, remember the zipper bag that people to carry to the bank? I need a zipper bag. I need a leather zipper bag with payroll in it, with a rubber band around the money, and count it out to you guys as a new technology here. We're going back to cash.
Yeah. Well, I even think when I'm at the grocery store and the person in front of me is writing a check, how irritated I get.
Wow. You are irritated.
you know, some people just don't like change.
So the move to cashless stores, among them Dos Toros, Bluestone Lane, and Milk Bar, they have miffed officials in places like Philadelphia, where City Councilman Bill Greenlee says it's fundamentally undemocratic. The councilman says killing cash creates us and them places. I could walk into a coffee shop and pay with my credit card. Someone standing behind me in line with the same amount of money in their pocket but in cash cannot buy the same product. That just seems wrong to me.
Well, you know, how do you expect to get off the grid if you can't pay in cash?
I'm sure there are a lot of things that Bill Gates or Warren Buffett could buy that I can't.
Well, I kind of get it. I understand that some people just don't want to do credit cards. They don't want to give their information out.
The anti-cashless laws require all retailers and restaurants to accept cash. There are some loopholes, though. New York City is watching Philly and New Jersey. Their city councilman in December proposed a similar ban, and its supporters believe it will pass in the next 6 months. Sweetgreen declined to comment on this. Amazon and Shake Shack did not respond to inquiries about their opinion. But Natalie Bruss of Fifth Wall Ventures says we're not going to see the end of cash anytime soon. Instead, she sees a workaround, an open lane in which shoppers can avail of reverse ATMs that accept cash and spit out prepaid cards. Therefore, such stores won't be cashless. And of course, there is a startup to take advantage of all this, Zivelo. Z-I-V-E-L-O, led by a former eBay executive, is already adding such lanes at fast food chains and pharmacies around the country. I mean, I hardly carry cash anymore unless I'm traveling, and that's primarily for the people who do my bags at the airport, which is getting less and less.
Mm-hmm.
More and more airlines just have you do your own bags. You tag them, you put them on the conveyor. You know, I mean, I like to tip the shuttle guy, and then I'll tip the... Well, I guess I don't tip the cab guy anymore because I Uber, and that just goes directly off my credit card. But I tip the bellhop at the hotel. But outside of that, I don't carry that much cash anymore. I just use the debit and credit, but reverse ATMs.
Well, is the movement because it's more efficient to use debit cards and credit cards?
I have no idea. I think it's just... something new, and it's changed, and we don't like it, so we're going to protest this inequality. So they're trying to eliminate the cashless store.
Right.
So much for progress, right? So Jason Forrest is standing by. He's the CEO of Forrest Performance Group. We're going to talk sales and this warrior code that he says can improve your sales culture. That's coming up next. Better Than Before is sponsored by University Subaru. Join us for the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now. From here, been here, always will be here. University Subaru, your truly locally owned dealer.
The all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Room for up to 8 passengers. Choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. Standard EyeSight Driver Assist technology. Coming from Kelley Blue Book's most trusted brand for 4 years running, the Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever.
University Subaru, your locally owned dealer. Join us for the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now.
Do you apologize for your behavior? Are you constantly worrying about what others think about you or frequently criticize yourself? Self-esteem affects everything we do and is one of the key indicators of success in business. Tony's new self-esteem workshop will help you develop the tools necessary to empower you to overcome the pressure and unfamiliarity of professional and personal circumstances. Through Tony's guidance, you'll learn how to perceive threats and vulnerabilities to better prepare for challenging situations, resolve the baggage that keeps you back, and improve self-esteem when you need it most. Join us on May 28th for this one-day self-esteem workshop. Space is limited. Don't let low self-esteem hold you back from living the life you'd like to live. Register online now at clearvisiondevelopment.com.
Welcome back to Better Than Before. I'm Tony Richards. Our special guest today is Jason Forrest, and he's the CEO at Forrest Performance Group, providing the best sales coaching and sales management training for organizations throughout North America. As a sales professional, author, speaker, and management coach, Jason's job is to empower professionals and executives to unleash their human performance and master their leadership skills in sales management, work culture, and customer service. Starting from the top down, he incorporates experiential learning to increase sales, implement cultural accountability, and transform companies to the best version of themselves. And Jason's joining us today from Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good. I'm glad to be on the podcast.
You bet. We are so happy to have you here today and excited to talk some sales. And I want to talk specifically about a topic that you are very well-versed in and perhaps maybe even created, but what it takes to become a sales warrior. I think as a lot of business owners think about their organizations and their sales teams, they wish their salespeople had a warrior-like mindset. So how'd you come up with this concept?
Well, I came up with the concept because when I started my company 10 years ago, my goal was to bring back the pride, purpose, and respect to professional selling. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, when you ask the average person, what do you think of when you think of a salesperson, you know, they say all these negative things. But the reason why they say those things is because we've unfortunately not trained salespeople how to be professional. And so that was really my idea, was how do we create a model that liberates salespeople to be salespeople from an assertive perspective, not a aggressive perspective. But the top 1% of salespeople, they are very assertive in their approach. There's actually a lot of research that says that the majority of salespeople, about 80%, have a high need to be liked, versus the top 20% do not have that need. They have a high need to be respected, and their ultimate goal is to actually achieve resolution. And so when you think of a warrior is someone who goes in there and liberates people from whatever fear or whatever worry is happening out there. And so our simple definition of warrior selling is, our overall philosophy, I guess the better way to say it, is all human beings move away from pain and toward life improvement. And a sales warrior believes their mission is to liberate them from any indecision.
I like it. And so part of the way you get this instilled into these sales warriors is you build the culture, right? And the culture is made up of building blocks called the code. And so this is based on some Japanese samurai stuff, right?
Yes, I'm a huge student of, again, anything kind of warrior related. So if you were to look inside of my office, I've got an authentic samurai sword and a Viking sword and all kinds of authentic armor in here. But yes, the samurai lived by what's called the Bushido. And the Bushido is basically translated into English as the way of the warrior. And so it's just their way. I mean, our modern day version of that would be like the Constitution. It's these guiding principles, or back in the, you know, the Old Testament times, it could be the commandments, right? So it's just some sort of filtering mechanism to say, this is the way that we need to run things. And so, yes, at FBG, we run our company in that Bushido way, or that way of the warrior, our version of the code. The culture is a really important concept, because culture is what happens behind the boss's back. So for example, if you have a culture that you want, that's because your people are doing the things that you would want them to do as if you were right there next to them. Of course, the culture you don't want is people are doing things that you would not want them to do as if you were right there next to them. And so if you really want to create a culture of sales warriors, then it's more than just teaching the right behaviors to your salespeople. It's also teaching the right behaviors to their sales manager. And it's also creating the right systems and processes inside the culture to, again, support whatever endeavor that you're doing.
I love the Viking sword because I'm married to a Viking.
So. That's awesome. That's awesome.
One of the virtues you mentioned in this code or framework is courage. And so how do you build that into the culture as a sales manager?
That's a great question. So, I mean, the most important thing to do with any human being is to understand their outcome frame. So I think it's important whenever you're coaching a salesperson, we actually teach a process called the four stages of sales coaching. And I wrote a book called Leadership Sales Coaching that's won the best sales management development program in the world. And first thing you got to do is you got to understand, you got to get position of strength when it comes to the person you're coaching, which is real simple. You basically just need to talk to the salesperson you're coaching or any employee and you say, tell me exactly what you're trying to accomplish, you know, by when. So what are your goals? How much money do you want to make? And then, of course, why is that important to you? The why must always be greater than the sacrifice they're having to make. So if they're wanting to give themselves a, you know, a 20% pay raise, what are they going to do differently and what are they going to sacrifice in order to get that? And then, of course, the third question is how. So how are you going to get there? What's the process, pattern, and strategy that needs to happen in order to get the results that you need? And then the fourth question is, whose coaching do you need? So where are you stuck? Whose help do you need? What resources do you need? What training do you need? What knowledge, et cetera, do you need? So once you figure out that outcome frame, you know, then you figure out, obviously, where are they stuck? And which comes to that fourth question. And one of the areas they might be stuck in has to do with courage, has to do with being bold. You know, we actually have developed a formula that everyone can write down right now that's trademarked, and it's performance equals knowledge minus leashes. P equals K minus L. So knowledge is the skills you give a salesperson to perform. Leashes are any limiting belief that holds them back. So like that would be courage, for example. Well, a simple way to understand the formula, in a training session, let's say you train every salesperson to demonstrate courage by asking every customer, what is holding you back from choosing us? A very simple question, right, Tony? Just what is holding you back from choosing us? What advantages does the competition have over us? What can we do to, you know, to win your business? What would give you that certainty that says we're right? So what's holding you back from choosing us? Well, majority of salespeople don't ask that question. And if they do, they don't ask it every time. And so then you would want to figure out, well, what are the leashes? What stops them from asking that question 100% of the time? And that's where you drill down. That's where you coach, is those specific leashes. And those leashes would be, well, it all depends on the customer, or it depends on the timing, or it depends on where I am in the process, or it depends on if all decision makers are present, or so many other factors. That's the resistance to the courage. And so if you want them to have more courage, then you've got to figure out what is the resistance or the leashes that's preventing them from having that courage.
I'm sure pre-qualifying would be a leash, right? They attempt to answer the question themselves instead of asking it.
Correct. Yeah. So one of our belief systems is your job as a salesperson is actually to treat every buyer as though they can buy, not that they can't buy. And so to see every buyer as you're absolutely capable of purchasing this, and I'm going to assume that you can, you know, I mean, that's the idea of business to business selling, especially is that, I mean, the number one objection that we get when it comes to training is we don't have a budget for this. Okay, well, that's because you currently don't believe that if you give your salespeople additional skills and resources and coaching, that that will actually increase profitable sales. You believe right now that in order to make more sales, you need more innovation, you need better product, better features, you need better marketing, better customers. And so, but once we convince them this is also part of their strategy, well, then of course they find the budget, right? That's the idea. I mean, I assume everyone can buy until they stop the sale. The salesperson can never actually stop the sale, which is a very Bushido way, by the way. So the samurai actually taught a concept or believed by a concept that's pretty out there, but it was go to battle as if you were permanently dead. So live your life as you're permanently dead. So just take that one for a second. Think about that. The reason why the samurai were so fierce is because they knew they would be rewarded in heaven when they died on the battlefield. And that's why they actually, like, when they lost in battle, they actually, part of the honor was to actually kill themselves because they wanted to die with honor. And I know it's very extreme, but I use that as a metaphor for salespeople. You know, every day you should sell as if you're permanently dead. Sell as if there's no other shot than right now. Or you hear it in sports, of course, right? Leave it all in the field. You know, there's never going to be a follow-up conversation that's going to have. And so most salespeople, they tell themselves this story that says, well, if I can't get everything done right now, then I'll follow up with them and tell them everything else. And my whole thing is, you got to sell as if you're permanently dead because you might not ever have that follow-up conversation.
Another thing that I noticed that I think business owners would be really interested in, or organizations would be really interested in, is the aspect of loyalty that you build into this code. So can you talk about loyalty a little?
Yeah. You know, so loyalty to me is obviously huge. And if you guys can kind of picture a pyramid, at the lowest level of loyalty for any employee, and this is not just a sales thing, this is an employee thing, at the lowest level of loyalty is they're loyal to a paycheck. So they're loyal to the amount of money that you're going to give them. And I'm not, I mean, that's still very important. People have to feel like they're getting paid enough to feed their family and that it's worth what you're asking them to do. So that is still a very important level of loyalty. The next level of loyalty is they're loyal to the brand. They're loyal to your company brand and what you stand for and your mission, vision, values, and where you're trying to go and that sort of thing. The third level of loyalty is they're loyal to the C-suite. So they're loyal to the CEO, the COO, the president, basically the overall leadership direction. You know, we've won Best Place to Work 3 years in a row now in Fort Worth. And that's a common question that's always asked, right? Is, you know, what level of certainty do you have in the leadership team that they're heading in the right direction? So that's still a very important question when it comes to loyalty. The fourth level of loyalty is loyal to your department head, which think of it as your like direct supervisor, your coach. You know, a Gallup research says that people will leave managers before they leave companies. And so that loyalty to your boss is very important. Well, the final level of loyalty is loyal to your peers. And really, if you think about the greatest military operations or the greatest, you know, they have this belief system that is, I'm loyal to my team. I'm loyal to my peers. One of my favorite coaches, of course, is Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll, the Seattle Seahawks, he has an assignment where he makes every one of his players create a 25-word personal philosophy. Very difficult to do. And they have to memorize that, live by that, and share that with the other teammates that they're going to be on the field with. Because, and one of their goals is to, every person knows their own personal philosophy of how they contribute to the team and what they're supposed to do. Then also everyone understands what everyone else has signed up for. And so now that creates obviously this loyalty to each other, and that's the ultimate goal.
One of the virtues in the Samurai Code, as a matter of fact, it's the very first one, is rectitude. And you call this the backbone of the entire cultural idea, right?
Yeah. I mean, so what did you think about that idea when it comes to rectitude?
Well, I thought it was pretty cool because it has some neuroscience attached to it. And my wife is a neuroscience studier and researcher. So the fact that it has those principles attached to the way our brain is wired, I thought the psychology of honor and all that. But I'd love to hear you explain it.
Yeah. So you know, rectitude, there's a lot of different ways we could obviously say this, but it's this idea of being morally correct when it comes to our thinking, you know, righteousness, you know, having this kind of positive virtue of honor of what we're trying to do. You know, in other words, would be integrity and principle, trustworthiness. I mean, these are all kind of words that really have to do with that. You know, to me, it's about, it actually goes a lot back with that Pete Carroll philosophy of what is your individual philosophy? You know, most people, we actually have a new book that I just wrote called The Mindset of a Sales Warrior, and it's going to come out sometime this year, Mindset of a Sales Warrior. And it's basically about 43 different strategies on how to improve your mental toughness. So I think it was like psychological mind training for a salesperson. But one of my first concepts in the book is this idea of how strong is your me? There's a great quote from Steve Jobs where he talks about how, you know, he's actually doing this commencement address for Stanford, and he's a couple of years away from death. He knows he's going to die. He basically has this famous line that says, don't let the noise from other people's opinions drown out your inner voice. Basically, he's saying, like, you know, a couple of years away from death, like, live your life, like, decide what is right for you. What is your code? What is your path that you're on? And be clear about that path and be bold about that path. And, you know, don't let the voice of other people drown out your inner voice. And the reason why that idea of rectitude is so important as far as what are you really trying to do here? Like, what really is your outcome? You know, what is your code on a daily basis as far as how you live your life? Because if you think about it, this is a very, very important thing for people to get when it comes to being a sales warrior, is that I believe being a sales warrior is almost fighting the impossible battle. In military world, the last thing, you know, a country would ever want to do is to fight a war on all fronts. Well, that's really what a sales warrior does, because a sales warrior, you know, has a prospect telling them they're overpriced. They've got customers that tell them that, you know, the operations department didn't fulfill the order that they sold them. They've got their boss telling them if they don't make their number, they're going to get fired. They've got their family saying that they work too hard and they're not around. They've got their friends saying that, you know, they can't hang out with them anymore and be friends. you know, they've got their other department heads saying they're OPP Madonnas, and if for some reason they're successful and they're crushing as a sales warrior, then of course they've got their peers potentially saying that the only reason why they're selling is because they're in a great territory. And so they're really fighting a war on all fronts, this impossible war. And so when I wrote the book, Mindset of a Sales Warrior, it was all about how do I build up your me, your personal me, so strong that your friends, your family, your boss, all these different people, you know, can't control your own self-talk, your own inner voice. So that's really it. It's about, again, having that correct behavior or thinking, being, you know, working in a straight line, being purposeful and making your voice stronger than everyone else's.
You know, I have one of the things that I thought about when I read about the rectitude is that I have on occasion seen some salespeople that were so bought into their organizations and so bought into the philosophy and product that they would just think you were nuts that you weren't doing it with them, you know, that they just couldn't imagine you not wanting to be a participant in what they had to offer. And so I just think that that is a wonderful place to get to as far as a sales culture.
But well, that just a yes and that is the one single difference, what you just said, that separates the warrior from the other salespeople, is that they feel like you're making the biggest mistake of your life if you don't go with them. That is definitely it.
I love it. Now, last question for you, but so I read your books and I read your articles and I love the way this sounds. What are some of, and obviously it would be better to have your assistance in trying to install this framework than trying to DIY it, but what are some of the pitfalls that sales managers or salespeople could fall into if they were trying to achieve this kind of behavior into their sales culture?
I think the biggest pitfall would be, you know, they give people a book to read or they send them to a one-day seminar and say, hey, you know, go be warriors. I mean, again, it's a holistic approach. I mean, you have to teach the salespeople how to think differently. You have to give the skill set to their managers to be coaches. They need to be, you know, the Bill Belichick, the Pete Carroll, the Nick Saban of coaches to train the sales warriors correctly. You need to, of course, have the right training. You need to have the right culture and support. You got to measure the right thing. I mean, there's a lot of factors that need to put into play. And so, you know, the biggest thing I would tell people is that, you know, if you want to be something truly great, then you got to do great things. You got to do extraordinary things. And so you can't just kind of dabble into something like this.
Yeah, one of the things that we teach our clients is that events don't drive behavioral change, but process does. And so, you know, that you mentioned give them a book or send them to a singular training, that isn't going to change their behavior or develop this philosophy. It needs to be process driven, right? Along with coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually wrote a book called Why Training Fails. It says it's WTF, Why Training Fails. And the subtitle of the book is, the U.S. spends about $164 billion every year on training, but 70% fails to reach its ROI. This book explains why. And so we've been in that 30%. We actually have proven year over year that our clients do hit their sales goals and do have a return on investment. And we're really big on that. But to your point, everything we do is a program-based approach, not an event-based approach. So we don't do any shot in the arms. Everything we do is again, it's all program based. And the simple way to look at that, everyone's listening right now, is, you know, you wouldn't get on a plane right now. Let's say you're about to fly somewhere this week. You wouldn't go on a plane and all of a sudden the pilot's like, you know, hey, this is Jason from Southwest Airlines. And, you know, I went to a 2-day class on how to fly a plane and I got this figured out, passed the test. I got certified, took the evaluation and just buckle up for safety. I mean, you just wouldn't do it, you know, but for some reason we give salespeople a $2 million territory or we give a sales manager, you know, a $20 million region. And we say, you know, I know with no training or maybe a 1-day seminar or a book, you know, I'm sure you got this thing figured out. I mean, it's just, it's nuts.
Go sell.
Go sell. I'm sure you'll do great.
I've got a standard list of closing questions I ask everybody that comes on the show, and I'll just shoot these to you in rapid fire succession. All right.
Perfect.
Best memory that immediately comes to mind for you.
The first one that came to my mind, even though I've got two children, so I don't know what this says about them, but the first one that comes to mind is, is my final game in my high school football career, which sounds kind of funny, but you know, my coach said to us, he said, hey, you know, none of you except for a couple are actually going to play football in college. And he said, so right now you've got, you know, basically 2 hours or less to get all the football out of your system. So go out there and have no regrets. Don't be the old guy that still, you know, wants to play football. Get it all out of your system. And so I love that. I love that memory.
It's awesome. Number one hero in your life.
Number one hero. I mean, I would probably say my dad. I think my dad owns the oldest jewelry store in Dallas, and I grew up in kind of a very strong sales positive environment. So I'd say him.
What's his name?
Jim Forrest. He's 80 years old.
Wow. What's the top value you subscribe to?
Fortitude was my top mind, probably number one value. So fortitude is strong heart, strong minds can't lose.
Most important person in your life?
I would say Mary Marshall.
Your favorite thing in the whole world?
Progress.
What's your favorite food?
Chinese.
Most beautiful place you've ever been to?
Any beach.
If you could describe success in one word, what would that be?
Growth.
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as someone who liberated salespeople from their fears and their worries, that gave them permission to be a sales warrior, to have an honorable profession, to be something they can be proud of.
Advice for a younger Jason?
Have gratitude more often.
What's your favorite sound?
The money bell in our office every time we sell something.
And this may be a little challenging to pick, but what's the best lesson you've learned?
I would say the best lesson I've learned is it's more about unlearning than learning.
Jason Forrest has been our guest. He's the CEO of Forrest Performance Group in Fort Worth, Texas. Jason, how do people find you and your materials?
Perfect. They go to, of course, our website at fpg.com, stands for Forrest Performance Group. And if they go to fpgmasterclass.com, they can subscribe to a monthly masterclass where I teach the beliefs and the mindset of a sales warrior.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. I appreciate you being on the show today, and I hope you'll come back sometime and teach us more about the warrior code in sales.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Stand by for your leadership and business lesson coming up next on Better Than Before.
The all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Room for up to 8 passengers. Choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. Standard EyeSight driver assist technology. Coming from Kelley Blue Book's most trusted brand for 4 years running, the Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever.
University Subaru, your locally owned dealer. Join us for the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now.
Receive weekly coaching tips from Tony Richards, delivered straight to your inbox. Whether you're a CEO or an entrepreneur, Tony can help you reach your goals and give you a competitive edge within your industry. Tony's Monday morning coaching memo covers topics ranging from leadership development to teamwork to company culture and more. Text the word leadership to 38470 to sign up for Tony's Monday morning coaching memo or sign up online at clearvisiondevelopment.com.
Welcome back to Better Than Before. I'm your host, Tony Richards, and we're going to talk about why people fail to execute. You know, back when I first started consulting and coaching probably 15, 16 years ago, the main issue was strategy. I got hired quite a bit to come in and work on strategic plans and strategic principles and differentiation and all those kinds of things. And I still do that kind of work with our clients. But now the focus is on, yeah, we got this great plan, but why can't we get our people to execute the plan? And so this could be in that context. It could also be in the context of 2019, where coming to the end of first quarter and you put these plans together and the first quarter is almost gone and you haven't executed anything yet. So why do people fail to execute? Part of it is as all things are, you know, that I talk about. Part of it is mindset. And you have to get the idea into your head that failing is just a part of succeeding. Sometimes people are so afraid of failure that they won't move on a plan. They won't do some of it because they think, I'm going to fail and I don't want to fail. And the best way not to fail is to not execute. But what you find if you do an analysis of it and you start doing research on really successful people, you're going to find out that they've simply gone through more failure, more rejection, and more pain than other people have. Failure and rejection is just part of moving yourself beyond your limits and beyond mediocrity and beyond average. And I still do not believe that anybody wants to be average. No one wants to get up in their average bed and have an average breakfast and take an average shower and go to their average car and kiss their average spouse goodbye and go to their average job and have an average day and maybe have an average lunch and get home after an average work and perhaps go to see an average movie. Nobody wants to do average, but some reason we get back to being average and we get back to being mediocre because we're afraid of failing. Knowledge itself, you know, you've probably heard knowledge is power. Knowledge itself is not power, it's potential power. So a battery has potential power in it. It's not until you plug that battery into a flashlight or into a remote control that the power gets accessed. It's actually doing something and it's executing what you bought the battery for, what you bought the storage for, what you bought the potential power for is now actually turning into power because it is turning into ability. And doing something and executing things that you learn turns knowledge to skill and ability. People don't execute for, you know, fear of failure. That's one. Another reason is they simply don't believe in their vision. So the first thing you have to do is realize that human beings are given imagination for a reason. We were given imagination so that we can change our circumstances, first in our minds, then in our words, and then in our action. But you're going to have to believe in what you've envisioned. And if you don't believe it, it's not going to turn to behavioral action. Another reason people don't execute is because they get paralyzed. They become procrastinators. They become perfectionists. And they don't break their plan down into action steps or chunks. You have to execute in chunks. Time comes at you second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, quarter by quarter, and year by year. It comes to you in chunks. So you have to start getting into the flow of the stream of time that is coming to you and break down your executable action items to fit into the chunks of time you're being presented with. Another reason people don't execute is they simply don't believe in themselves. They don't think that they have the skills. They don't think that they have the smarts. They don't think that they have what it takes. They haven't relentlessly practiced to get to a place of achievement where most people that do it on a fairly consistent basis over a long period of time, people call those folks geniuses. And you haven't accessed your genius because you haven't, you're like the battery that has the potential power inside. You haven't plugged in to what you're supposed to be doing, so therefore you only still have potential. You aren't accessing any place, you aren't accessing any of that and putting it into an ability or skill so that you too can be called a genius. Last reason people don't execute is fear and conditioning. Sometimes we chase ideas that are created by other people. Sometimes we chase ideas that are defined by society. Sometimes we have a fear over what our friends think, what our peer group thinks, sometimes even over what our parents think. And all of these different things that are set up by other people. rather than setting our own value system and setting ourselves up for what we expect out of ourselves. If our fear and conditioning defeat us because of other people's ideas over what we should be, that's terrible. So we need to relook at, what are we living for? Are we living someone else's idea? I've known people in the past. One fellow I'm thinking of right now, he told me once, I was coaching him, and he was a dentist. He was a third-generation dentist. And he told me that there are at least two or three other things he'd rather be than a dentist. But his grandfather was a dentist, and his dad was a dentist, and he just was raised to be a dentist. But he didn't like being a dentist. And finally, he broke out of that and decided to do something different. And today, I can tell you, he's one of the happiest people because he's executing on his own dream, not the idea or circumstance that was actually set up for him by someone else, that he could never feel fulfilled doing that. So those are some reasons why people don't execute. What are some tactics we can use in order to be productive? So how can we execute and be productive? Number one, how protective of your time are you? Do you have a sense of urgency? You're one tick less off of this amazing journey every second you live. Technology has advanced further than we've adapted to deal with. We're in a constant state of reaction. When that little text sound goes off, a signal shoots into our brain that says, oh, somebody loves me, somebody wants to talk to me, and we go and try to figure out who's on the phone or who's on the text or what's the alert that's grabbing our attention. Our email goes off and we want to look down in the lower right-hand side of our computer screen to see who's emailing us and what we want, instead of remaining focused and being proactive. We're reactive. Number two, ask yourself every single day, what are the five most important priorities I have to do today that'll make a difference in what it is that I want to do? If you do five things a day that significantly advance you forward, and you work Monday through Friday, that's 25 things you would do this week to advance your vision and advance your productivity. That would be awesome. And you'd be in the top 5% of all high achievers and performers in the world if you did that. Number three, set a countdown clock. It's been proven by science and also by people who've done it that deep concentrated focus for 45 minutes where all distractions are eliminated is the highest productivity amount of stretch time that you can do. No multitasking. And let's define multitasking. Multitasking is doing two or three things at the same time. Let me tell you what multitasking is not. Multitasking is not something that you're doing, but you're not doing. So in other words, let's think about somebody in the kitchen who's washing dishes. Just because you have a clothes washer going at the same time you're washing dishes, that is not multitasking. Yes, you have something else going at the same time, but you don't have to be doing it. Multitasking is actually like the person you see riding the very tall bicycle while spinning plates on their fingers of both hands and on their head and on both feet while balancing the bicycle. That's multitasking. And very few people actually do it. But every time you take on another task at the very same time you're doing another one, the excellence of that original task is reduced 80%, right? So be fully engaged. Be deeply concentrated and focused for 45 minutes. Then get up and stretch. Take deep breaths. Take a 5 to 10 minute break. Then transition back into your activity for another deep, concentrated 45 minutes focus. Immediate gratification addiction. What is going to give me pleasure right now? You have to avoid that because immediate pleasure creates long-term pain. Short-term pain creates long-term pleasure. Put yourself through enough short-term pain to get where you want to be long-term. The pain of discipline weighs ounces, and the pain of regret weighs tons. You'll experience one of these two. Which one will you choose today? Well, that's our show today. We're brought to you by University Subaru. Join us for the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now. From here, been here, always will be here. University Subaru, your truly locally owned dealer. Be sure and check in. Give us a 5-star rating if you've gotten value from our podcast. It'll help us move up the podcast charts so other people will become interested. Give us a listen and can also share in the value that you're receiving from our podcast weekly. It's a nice gift you can give to us, and we will be eternally grateful to you for that and for listening to us each week. Please follow me on Twitter at TonyRichards4. You can follow our company at ClearVisionDEV. On behalf of our associate producer, Whitney Coker, and our chief producer, William Foster, I'm Tony Richards, reminding you that everything gets better when you get better.
Thank you for listening to Better Than Before with Tony Richards, a business leader's podcast powered by Clear Vision Development Group. For more resources from Tony, visit clearvisiondevelopment.com. Join us next time for another episode of Better Than Before with Tony Richards.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.